Isaiah chapter number 35. Let's start in verse number 1. Bible says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to church in just another day that we can assemble together. Thank you for the freedoms that we have in our country and for all those men and women that have sacrificed so we can have this freedom and have kept things out of our country that would harm us. And Lord, I pray that we would be diligent, that we would be sober and vigilant. As Lord, I feel like many times that our freedoms are taken away not by a foreign enemy, but from within. And Lord, I pray that we would be diligent with that. Lord, help us this morning as we look at just some things on Isaiah for Sunday school. And Lord, I pray that you just help this be encouragement to your people. Thank you for the lessons that you've taught me through this. And just guide my words. Help me to only say what you would have me to this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We just obviously came back from Arizona, New Mexico area. And it's obviously very much different than here. And I am very glad, very thankful that God has allowed me to pretty much live in the Midwest area. I haven't, except for the time I've gone to Mexico once, and then I've gone out to the reservation, I think, three times now. And one thing I'm always very thankful for is coming back to greenery and just having all of the lushness that we have around here. And, I'll take the humidity if I can get, you know, green stuff. And, when you go out to the reservation, you go out there, it's a very, I'd say maybe harsh would be a term for it, a harsh environment. There is really, it's so barren. When you're used to growing up, you know, in cornfields and everything, and especially this spring, you know, it seemed like we had rain every 2 days or something like that. We had a very wet spring. We're paying for it now. But, you know, we had that wet spring, and we're so used to rain and having that continual water. And water's never really an issue for us. The last time I think that we had a water problem in our area was actually, ironically, due to a flood, not, you know, dryness. You know, it flooded the pumps down by the river, and it shut the municipal water off. Well, it wasn't because there was a lack of water. It was too much water. But out there, it's, I talked to Brother Nez, Pastor Nez, and, you know, there's still a lot of places they have to haul their water all the time. Water is a commodity out there. You know, it's not so much here, but out there, water is very much an essential part of life here. I shouldn't say that, but it's valued a little differently out there than it is here. The one day we went over to the camp and worked, and I haven't told Brother Haynes this because I don't know what their water bill is, but we went over to the camp and worked, and somebody had dug a trench about 2 foot deep, and then had quit. Well, they wanted it at least 32. He said 32 inches. We got it pretty close to 32 inches. But the problem is, it's clay. So they had dug down, and once you get past kind of a hard pan, it's a little easier to dig down lower. But then they had quit. So you've got this clay that was somewhat moist, and then they had quit for however long, and the sun came out, and it baked it. And it was extremely hard in several areas. Now, where the soil was moist, there was a section that the soil was a little bit more moist, and it was fairly easy to dig. But the other stuff, you know, it's like digging bricks. okay? And it was just, it was, you know, so what did we do? He's like, well, it was easier to dig where it was wet than it was where it was dry, so we found a garden hose and we filled the trench with water. So to make it, you know, waited for, and it did. It helped it because it was just, it softened that dirt up a little bit to allow it, make it easier to dig. But these places out there, they don't have the water like we do. And we were on Sunday, and this is just a lesson, and I guess this whole Sunday school lesson is maybe a lesson that God taught me. But on Sunday afternoon, we went on a trip to Newcomb. So Newcomb's about an hour away from Old Paths Baptist Church. And so Brother Nez, every Sunday afternoon, Brother Nez will drive from Old Paths, and he'll drive down to Newcomb. And so Old Paths doesn't have an evening service. They do the evening service at Newcomb. So he's pastoring two churches, trying to pastor two churches simultaneously. And so we go, during the summer, they can go up over a pass. There's, I think it's called the Chuka, I may be pronouncing that wrong, mountains. And they go up over these mountains, and it's beautiful. The drastic change of scenery from coming from Old Paths and going to the other church is amazing. And you've got the red rocks that's out there, and the mesas and the plateaus and everything out there. And then you're going into the mountains, and it's very much timber and just extremely hilly and a lot of conifers and things like that. And then it was very interesting when we come up over the top and you could see the other side. So, you know, you're kind of winding, you don't really see much. But when you come up over the top and you see the other side, there is like nothing, absolutely nothing. And actually, it's amazing how empty it really looks. And it's almost got this white, more of a whitish look to the sand than the other side. The other side's kind of reddish colored, and it's very much white. And Brother Nez, he's like, "Welcome to Mars." And I kind of looked at him, and there's cloud, and you could just see it down before we ever got down there. You could see clouds of just dust because you got a panoramic view for, I mean, as far as you can see to the horizon is nothing. And you've got these big clouds of dust just blowing everywhere. You can see the dark spots. And I asked him, is those just, and it's just clouds where the clouds are just casting a shadow on the ground. And it looks like there might be a green spot. And he's like, no, it's just a cloud. But I guess that they've actually, you know, it's a little cost prohibitive to go to Mars to shoot movies about Mars. So they've been going out there to the desert, and that's where they've been shooting a bunch of movies about space stuff, is because there's nothing out there. I mean, it's just sand and blowing, and we get down there and there's signs along the road about zero visibility, where it gets so bad that they'll shut the road down because of the sand and the dust blowing across the roads. And so I'm driving. Brother Nez is driving. I'm used to a Sunday afternoon nap personally. So it's hot, and then I'm in a vehicle. So I'm trying to stay awake, trying to talk to Pastor Nez. And I'm looking out the window, and there's all this sand blowing across, and there's nothing out there. And it's like, man, I'm glad I'm here to minister, but thank you, Lord, that I'm not here to minister, like, with my life. And I look out, and we're driving along, and I see a plant, which, you know, there's, in this particular area, there's not much plants of any kind. There's some scrub, if there's anything. And there's a plant there, and it's got like a pink flower on it. I thought, and all this blowing sand, and all this desert, and all this lack of water, there's a flower growing right there. And it's just on the side of the road, and we're talking, and we just drive down the road. And I got thinking about that. And I got thinking, you know, many times in life, I think we go through these desert times. You know, we go through those times that there's just like, you know, you don't feel like there's any growth. You feel kind of like there's that Mars feeling, like, I haven't seen any results. I haven't seen any, you know, I'm kind of plateaued. And you're kind of like us in the van. You're just driving through, you know, you're just trying to see the road ahead the little bit, and you're just kind of still driving. You've got a destination that you're trying to get to, but then there's just those times in life, it's like, really? Is this all there is to it? Am I actually accomplishing anything? Because everything around you just is dead. It just seems like I'm not accomplishing anything. And so I got thinking about that, but how God, and this is the basically the thought this morning, how God gives us desert flowers. Because in those times of life, I think there's, at least me personally, I don't always see it. I don't always see those flowers. There's just been a lot of times in my life that I haven't been, you know, one, I haven't been right with God the way I should be, all right? And I'm just being transparent. I haven't been right with God the way I should be. I haven't been, and because of that, you know, I'm not in my Bible the way I should be. My prayer life's not what it should be. And it just, you know, you kind of do the whole monotonous, all right, I'm going to church Sunday morning. I'm smiling because I'm supposed to smile. You know, I'm here. And you do what you have to. You do what you have to do. You go visit your bus kids. You go do that thing. But the truth of the matter is there's really no, doesn't seem like anything's growing. Doesn't seem like anything's being produced. And it's not the fact that God hasn't placed flowers there. It's the fact that a lot of times I just haven't seen them. It's a lot of times it's the fact that I'm too worried about looking at all the sand and I'm not looking for the flowers. You know, in Isaiah chapter number 61, you're in Isaiah, let's just flip over there. Isaiah chapter number 61, the Bible says in, let's just read verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." So these are people that are mourning. They're people that are in kind of a low spot in life, all right? "To give unto them," and then God starts giving these trades, "to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." God says, "I want to give you, here, only trade. All right, give me your desert and I'll give you this. Give me your beauty, give me your ashes and I'll give you beauty." And I think that a lot of times in my life, it's not that God didn't have that for me. It just wasn't, I wasn't willing. We kind of get stuck in this. We're really happy. We're miserably happy. We are miserably happy in a rut. All right, you're terribly miserable, but at the same time, you're very content just being woe is me and look at all the bad things that's happening to me. This is my lot in life. I'm just going, you know, you feel like you're Job and you have nothing to compare to Job. Okay, we just kind of get in that rut, basically. But I think in all of it, there's just those times that you go through the desert. The children of Israel, you think about that, the children of Israel spent quite a while in the desert, traveling through the desert. And I got a point about that here in a while. But I did basically a study on desert places. And I included a couple of the wilderness. Now, I don't know if actually, in my mind, when the Bible says desert, I'm thinking New Mexico, Arizona desert. When the Bible says wilderness, that could just be a very remote place. I don't know that it's necessarily desert as in destitute of water desert. It's just a very remote, out-of-the-way place, okay? Alaska could be wilderness, you know. There's a lot of places in the United States that could be wilderness without needing to be a desert. So I included a couple. I cheated. Just because there were some things that I brought to my mind. But in Isaiah chapter number 35, the Bible talks about how God would give them in their wilderness, all right? So look at verse number 35, or chapter 35, look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, "The wilderness and the solitary place." So we've got two things here. So we got wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. And then it says an interesting thing here, and blossom as the rose. So we've got this desert that's going to blossom as a rose. It shall blossom, verse 2, "It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. So the first thing I thought about was, you know, what is a desert flower? What's a blessing or something that we can look for in the desert? It's a place of needing. So the first thing I thought of, it's a place of needing water. Not a place of wanting water. It's a place of needing water. And I think sometimes, go to Genesis. I think sometimes God sends us into a desert place. You know, it wasn't my choice to go into the desert. That's just where we were. That's where God sent me. Okay? And sometimes I think desert places are of our own volition. Genesis chapter 16, I don't know if I said that. Genesis chapter 16, sometimes desert places are of our own volition. There are choices that I have made that have sent me there. But sometimes God, I think, just says, this is the road you have to take, and you know, this is the direction you got to go. Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. All right? And I don't know what the valley of the shadow of death, but I think a desert place, a valley that's in a desert, you know, I could see a lot of death happening there. And, but in Genesis, and so, but the desert is a place of needing water. It's not just the fact that, man, I was thirsty yesterday, and so I wanted a bottle of water or a glass of water. So I went and I got a glass of water. You're stuck in the desert. You need that water. And the desert's an interesting place because it's so dry. A lot of times you don't even know that you need water until you're past the point that you actually need water. Your body dries out, but you don't really notice it like you do here. You know, I was working on a roof. I don't know why I work on roofs on the hottest days of the year, but I was working on a roof Friday, and, you know, 93 degrees, 94 degrees, and I am just drenched with sweat, you know. And it's like, I know I need water. My body says I need water. But when we was out there in Arizona and New Mexico, when you're out there and it's, you know, it wasn't terribly hot, 90 degrees, and you're getting cold chills, probably means that you need water. Right. All right? No, I didn't feel like it. I mean, I felt, but when I'm like, man, I'm cold. Like, not like cold, like just internally, it's like, man, I'm cold. You're kind of dehydrated, and you should drink some water. You need that water. And sometimes I think we go to these desert places, and we don't realize, you know, when life is good, we read our Bible because, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes in those desert places, you need water. You need that water. Right. And you go searching for that water. Why? Because it's a desert place, okay? It's a desert place. In Genesis chapter number 16, we read about this lady, and her name is Hagar. So if you look down at verse number 6, Genesis chapter 16, verse number 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. Now flip over, I'm sorry, it's not in my Bible, I flip over a page. Look at verse number, verse number 13. And the Bible says, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? You know what Hagar said? You know, she's in this wilderness place. And now at this moment, she's by a well of water. The Bible says she's by this well. But she says, God sees me. You know what? God sees you when you're in those desert places. God sees you when you're in those dry, us when we're in those dry places. And God gives us those wells. And she recognized the fact that, God, you see me. You see my plight. You see the predicament I'm in. You see where I'm at. Now go over to chapter 21 of Genesis, chapter number 21. We find here the same lady. Genesis chapter 21, look at verse number 14. Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. So we have the same lady. She's already been in the wilderness once. She's now back in the wilderness. But the difference here is she's out of water now. So before she was sitting by a well, okay, and the angel of the Lord came to her and said, you need to go back to Abraham and Sarai. And she went back. But then after Isaac is born, Abraham says, I got to separate these two boys. So he sends Hagar out with a bottle of water and a loaf of bread and says, fend for yourself. So now she's out there. But you know what? The same God that saw her back at the well is the same God that saw her when she had no water. And so she sits down and she hears, you know, she's sitting off from her child and she's waiting for basically her child to die. I was talking to Brother Ryan yesterday and, you know, there's a lot of families in our church that have experienced this, but it's, I don't know what else to call it, but it's the Riley trip. It's the Riley trip. You know, we're an hour and a half from Riley and there's a lot of families that have had to make that Riley trip. You've had a kid that and usually it's not with your child. Usually your child's already there. But that Riley trip, you know, that Riley trip is you can get a lot of things right with God on a Riley trip, because You're kind of in that Hagar spot where you've already set the child over here. It's not in your hands anymore. You're not holding them anymore. You set the child over there, and you're kind of over here. I remember when Emily fell off of the boat, and I know it's not like anything that a lot of the others in this church have gone through, but you know, I was coming in the door over here, and I heard this loud crack. And here, and I turned around, and I looked, and I didn't really think anything about it. And I see a bunch of kids running around the boat, and pretty soon Nathaniel come running over. He said, "Brother Chad, we need you." And I go over there, and my little girl's unresponsive. She'd hit her head. And so we call the ambulance, couldn't get her to wake up, call the ambulance, and they sent a helicopter in. Helicopter landed out here in our ball field. When you can't go over and talk to her. You have to stand over here on the sidelines. It's out of your hands, and you can't do nothing. And they're trying to take care of her, and they're loading her on the helicopter, and you know what? There's a lot of thoughts, and those of you that have been there, you know what it is. There's a lot of thoughts that go in your head, and then there's that hour and a half trip. You know, me and my wife, hour and a half trip. What do? There's not a lot to say. You know, and sometimes in those desert places when it seems like, I don't like this. That's the places we find God more real than ever before. Verse 17, Genesis chapter 1, 21. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Hey, God knows where Hagar is. But God also knows exactly where that boy was. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad to drink. Now, this wasn't a Moses striking the rock moment. Okay? The Bible just said that God opened up her eyes. So I think the well was there the whole time. She just didn't see it. And sometimes I think those flowers, it's not that the flowers aren't there. We just don't see them. And so sometimes I think this place, it's a place of needing water. God, I need you right now. God, I need this to happen. But sometimes we only realize it when the times are bad and when you absolutely have to have it. So it's a place of needing water. The desert is. It's a place of needing water. Matthew chapter number 4. What else is the desert place? The desert place, I believe, is a place of overcoming temptation. What is another advantage or another flower in the desert? It's a place of overcoming temptation. This is a very, you know, all of you know this passage. And Matthew chapter number 4, Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil take them up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." What is the wilderness? I believe the wilderness is a place of overcoming temptation. It's interesting, the number 40 is an interesting number, I believe, in the Bible. And I haven't studied everything out there. I know there's some people that have. But a lot of times, 40 is significant about things that had to be overcome. You know, Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness here. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. All right? I think it's interesting how, you know, if you read about David and Goliath, Goliath marched for 40 days against Israel until finally somebody overcome that thing. But I believe that the desert is a place of overcoming temptation. You know, I think God sometimes allows us to go through that, or sometimes it's our own doing that puts us there. In those desert places. And why? Because I think God wants us to learn how to overcome some things. He wants us to learn how to overcome some things. It's not about, it's those things that, because you have to practice in the desert, you have to practice self-denial. Everything's not readily available to you there. You have to practice self-denial. I give somebody a canteen, or somebody gives me a canteen and says, "You need to get across this desert." You know what? If you're not careful, what happens to your canteen of water? It runs out way before you're ready for it to run out. You got to ration it. I got to get across this. The desert is a place of overcoming temptation. Exodus chapter number 3, the next thing. I got to go quickly through these. Exodus chapter number 3. So it's a place of needing water. It's a place of overcoming temptation. Exodus chapter number 3, I just referenced Moses. We're going to look at him. Exodus chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.' And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.'" Look down at verse number 10. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Thirdly, I believe that the desert is a place to find direction, ironically enough. You would think, Bro Chad, you're stuck out in the middle of a desert, all right? But you know, if you're going to, are you going to stay stuck in the desert? Are you going to get out of the desert? Okay, if you stay stuck in the desert, you know where you're going to die? In the desert. It's kind of like what I was saying earlier. You know, we get in a rut and we're like, well, I'm just going to sit down here and wait for rescue. You know, you'll probably die there. Right. You know what? And Moses, it was interesting. Moses came here and what was this burning bush? Why did God send him this burning bush? And, you know, he's been 40 years. Now he's got this flock on the backside of the desert. You know what God was doing? God was giving Moses a new calling, a new direction in life. He's like, what are you doing here, Moses? You know, you're watching sheep. Here, let me give you a bigger purpose for life. I have found that sometimes when I've stagnated, it's because, one, I need to get closer to God again. I need to see that burning bush again. All right? I need to see that. But then it's like, all right, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. I want you to help this person. All right? And it's a place to find direction. It's a place to find direction. Moses found direction in the wilderness. Moses found direction in the desert. Numbers chapter 14. This is kind of an interesting one. I hadn't really thought about this one. This one kind of popped up in my search. So the desert is a place of needing water. The desert is a place of overcoming temptation. The desert is a place to find direction. Fourthly, the desert is a place of losing flesh. Now, this is kind of morbid, but I mentioned earlier the children of Israel went through the desert, right? They spent they spent 40 years longer in the desert than what they should have. But they lost a lot of things in that 40 years. They lost a lot of doubt. They lost a lot of people that were hesitant about going in a new direction. Okay? These were the men that decided that they didn't want to go into the promised land. Verse number 29, Numbers chapter number 14, verse 29. Bible says, your carcasses, I love that, carcass. You're not even a person, you're just a carcass now. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. I think the desert is a place of losing some flesh. You know what our flesh doesn't like? Our flesh doesn't like inconvenience. Our flesh doesn't like going forward. Our flesh pretty much just likes sitting in that rut and soaking and souring. That's what our flesh likes to do. Our flesh doesn't... You know one reason I don't like the desert? My flesh didn't like the desert. All right? It's an uncomfortable place. It is. It's just an uncomfortable place. For what? For my flesh. I like air conditioning. I like, I like all the nice things of life that we many times take for granted. I like those things. I like have unlimited, you know, access to drinks whenever I want them. I do. I like that. But you know what I had to tell myself? It kind of goes back to that overcoming temptation thing. I just had to tell myself, your flesh, tell yourself no. All right, and here's the other thought. And this is, you know, it is what it is. You put somebody on one end of a desert and say, all right, meet me at the other end of, you know, they got that, I don't even know if it's still on. When I was growing up, they had a show called Amazing Race. And they basically start people in this spot, and they say, we'll meet you at the finish line. They had to go through all these different things, and they'd send them through these, you know, deserts and stuff like that. Well, I'm just saying, the person that started at the beginning of it and the person that came out the other side of the desert did not look like the same person. You know what they lost? Some flesh. They did. They lost some flesh. And you know what? The desert sometimes is a good place to lose some flesh. It's a good place to deny ourselves. And what the children of Israel, they had to spend 40 years losing that which prevented them from going on for God. That's true. They had to lose that which those men that said, we don't want to go in there. They had to spend 40 years losing doubt in order for them to keep going. All right? So it's a place of losing our flesh. The desert is. And then Acts chapter number 8. This is our last one. I'll just hit it briefly. So these are just some flowers. Some flowers in the desert. Place of needing water, place of overcoming temptation, a place to find direction, a place of losing the flesh. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and read and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What's the last place this morning that we're going to talk about? I believe that the desert is a place of winning souls. Right. Philip never would have been able to lead this eunuch to the Lord except he was in a desert place. And so all those other things that Philip, that we talked about already about the desert place, those were applying to Philip because God sent him into a desert place. But he also said, hey, I've got somebody in that desert place. Listen, if Philip's in a desert place, where's the Ethiopian at? That's right. He's in a desert place too. And, you know, I think sometimes those bad things, the things that we don't understand, you know, why do good things happen to bad, or why do bad things happen to good people, those scenarios, maybe it's because somebody else is in a desert place the same time that we are in a desert place. And God says, I just need you there to be a witness for me. And listen, don't get so involved in, I do this. I get, remember that whole sitting in a rut thing? That's me sometimes. I'm just being transparent with you, okay? You know, you sit there and it's like, I can't believe I, you know, I had a, we was coming back from Kentucky and this is no big deal. So it's kind of not funny, but you know, I'm coming back from Kentucky and I had, you know, I'm driving late, I'm pulling a trailer. I had a guy come down in Salem. He T-boned me, basically. Not T-boned. I hit him, but like it was his fault completely. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, what did I do? I'm just driving down the main road. This guy blows a stop sign, and my truck's bigger than his truck, and it was not a good day for either of us. And it's like, what in the world? You know, and sometimes, okay, Brother Chad, that's silly. That's trivial. But sometimes the silly and the trivial, we still don't understand and we still get mad. Right. This shouldn't have happened. I wasn't doing anything wrong. God, why'd you, you know, I'm out of my truck. You know, my truck is kind of that's my tool. I have to have it. Right. You know, I'm out of my truck. I'm inconvenienced for like 3 months. ugh. And then it's like, you know what? Maybe I'm supposed to find somebody that's kind of in a low spot too. And, you know, and the guy, I had to, of course, my truck is had to get towed, but kind of difficult to tow a truck and a trailer at the same time. So real nice guy let me park my trailer in his lot. You know what? When I went back down there, I took some literature from the church. I gave him some money just as a thank you. Never heard anything else from him. I don't know I don't know where he's at, what he's, but you know, maybe he was in a desert place at the same time as I was in a desert place. But if all we do is we get irritated, how are we ever going to reach anybody?
Right.
When God sends us into those desert places. So desert flowers, place of needing water, place of overcoming temptation, place to find direction, place of losing flesh, and a place of winning souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do. Help the service this morning. Thank you so much for our church family here, and just all, Lord, that sometimes we don't understand the desert places, but Lord, help us to look for these flowers, help us to look for these blessings. Thank you for all that you do, in Jesus' name, amen.